This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On tonight's Live Feed, Anna Flores talks to First Communion After Party, a psychedelic rock band from Minneapolis. The band, who is always trying to evolve and improve upon their sound, played the Midwest Music Fest in Winona last spring. Here's Anna Flores with First Communion After Party on tonight's Live Feed.
I'm at Midwest Music Fest this weekend, and I'm sitting down with First Communion After Party. Can I have you introduce yourselves and what it is you do in the band?
Yep, I am Liam Watkins. I sing and play guitar.
And I'm Maria. I play keyboards and I sing.
Any relation to the Watkins family from Winona?
I'm sure distant somewhere along the line, but yeah, not directly.
All right. So, why don't you then tell me the rest of the band members who aren't here right now?
We have Nick Grafstrom on drums, Kryn Barno, lead vocals and percussion, Joe Werner, who is from Winona, and he plays lead guitar, and we've got Sarah Rose on bass. I think that's everyone, right?
That's all six.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad they were represented because they can't be here right now.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah. Did you guys get a chance to eat before they ate or something?
No.
Well, there's always herbs and gerbs. They're open late.
Sounds nice. Good. Yeah.
How did you guys first get into music?
Well,
parents.
For me, I think it was mostly my older brother and sister. I grew up in Scotland. I moved here in 94, but when I grew up in Scotland, it was during the Britpop wave out of Manchester, and so my older brother and sister were listening to a lot of indie music at the time, like the Stone Roses, Happy Mondays, bands like that, and so I got heavily influenced by Britpop during that time as a child, and so it's kind of something that's always stuck with me. It's like a 60s revival, sort of, but with a modern sort of indie twist on it. So,
what about you?
My parents. I grew up with a lot of classic rock in my life, and that's how it all started. And, you know, I was preteen in the late 90s, and a lot, like, Stone Roses came over a little bit, some of the British stuff. Oasis was really big when I first started making the distinction between music that I thought sounded good and music that was just shoved down your throat. So that's where I started. I can't speak for the other four of us, unfortunately. Everybody's influence is a little bit different.
Yeah, I think pretty much all of us, for the most part, were influenced by what our parents listened to.
Definitely.
Like, we all kind of have hippie beatnik parents, so a lot of 60s music there.
That makes sense. It is the best stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What was the first album you ever bought?
The Cardigans, First Band on the Moon. Their cover of Black Sabbath's Iron Man. I don't know, I loved it.
I think my first album I ever bought was Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magik. And I think that was back in like 92 or something.
Memories. How did this, when and how did this band form?
We formed in 2005. We all went to the same high school at the time with our original lineup, all 2 years apart.
4 years apart.
Yeah, some of us, yeah. So, you know, none of us really knew each other in high school, but we all sort of found each other after high school through just a common love of the same music, and we sort of found each other on MySpace at the time.
Oh, MySpace.
Yeah, memories.
Those days.
So, you know, yeah, so, like, you know, we all found out we went to the same school, and we were all into the same music, and it just so happened we could all play instruments, so we thought, hey, why not? You know, it'd be a great way to get into shows for free and have a lot of fun.
And then it turned into something serious.
Yeah.
Which we never really expected. We just thought we'd mess around. And
yeah. It took a couple of years for it to be something that was just like we did in the basement to something that was actually like a serious part of our lives.
Yeah.
So did like those rotating members then kind of develop more into the seriousness?
Yes and no. I mean, like, you know, we've had many members come and go over the years. for many different reasons, but yeah, as
we
progressed...
In the end, it was the people who left were less committed, and the people who stayed were the ones
who... Were people who wanted to make a career out of music, so yeah, it just kind of, like, over time, started working with other people who were just more passionate about music being their career, and...
And how would you describe your sound? Psychedelic rock?
Yeah,
that's the easiest thing,
it's kind of a wall of sound, really. Lots of layers, and yeah, I mean,
it's
psychedelic
really
rock would be the more, I guess, generic way to put it. I mean, I've always had a really hard time categorizing the music I make, because I do draw a lot of influences from all over the place, so...
I like to leave it to other people to say what we are, because it's hard when you're inside to see, you know, what it looks like from the outside.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah, because you kind of have, like, a very psychedelic rock kind of thing going on, but then you make it more modern. It's like, how do you figure out how to balance those two things by making something that is an older, I don't want to say tradition, but an older music style, making it sound modern? I mean, how do you get past that?
Because we're living in different times. I mean, like, the world around us is so different.
Yeah, you know, it's just taking what you can from the past and putting a modern twist on it with, you know...
I think it's almost bleaker, you know?
I would prefer to sound more authentically 60s, but...
You need to be true to the times you live in.
Yeah. You know, and with, like, a lot of bands, like, and our music tastes have changed considerably since we started the band, but, like, there's a lot of, like, modern bands that are coming through, bands like Deer Hunter, things like that. Like it's hard to listen to that stuff and not take, you know, inspiration and influence from it. Like, bands like Sonic Youth and stuff, which is, like, definitely, like, they're doing something different. Even though Sonic Youth have been around for, like, God, like, 25 years or something like that, it's just... You know, their sound is so ahead of the time, even, I think, now, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just taking what you have and grabbing from new things and keeping it fresh.
There's something to be said about, like, peace and love and happiness, but I think I identify more with, like, the grit and a little bit of anger, you know?
Yeah.
Expressing the things that aren't always great instead of the hope that they will be is important.
Are there some, like, bands playing now that... can influence your music or that you listen to?
Well, like I said, Deer Hunter, definitely. But I don't know. What about you?
I don't think I listen to any type of music that is anywhere close to what I come up with. I listen to a lot of African music. Fela Kuti is really big in my life. And I listen to a lot of funk. I think, like, getting away from what I create musically is really important instead of listening to something so close to what I do.
You're
makes
in a lot of
fresh.
Krautrock rock too.
Yeah, I'm really big into German 60s, 70s rock, like Kahn and Popova and Amandul and Neu and all that weird stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I like that, though, where it's like you have that kind of separate thing and then you have, like, your job, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm the problem child. Night.
Like you focus more on music as opposed to lyrics. Would you say it's true or not?
No,
that could be true for me and for me.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, for
if
everybody
you ask
but Kryn, yeah, because I mean Kryn's the lyric writer, so and she comes up with the most beautiful, amazing lyrics. But mm-hmm. we don't write her lyrics for her,
right.
And she doesn't write our music for us. You know, it's like we write the music and she writes her lyrics. For, you know, how she feels for that, you know, and we just build upon each other, you know, it's
just
like
just
we can't really have one
it.
Without the other, you know, so.
Sometimes when we play, like, I would not know forever what she was saying, and I'd mm-hmm. finally clearly hear the lyrics sometimes, like, oh my god.
Yeah.
If I knew the whole time that you were saying that while we were creating these sounds, like, I would have loved it even more.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it was. I couldn't always hear the words, but it was more the sounds of her, of the, you know.
And that's been important
stuff.
To us.
Yeah.
Having lyrics, having vocals be like another
instrument. Yeah.
They should be on that sound level. They shouldn't be like Kelly Clarkson or something,
right.
You know, where
like
the pop production where they're just like above everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost kind of obnoxious.
Yeah, I definitely got that feeling that it was, you know, just one other piece of the band.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't above anything else. It was all in the same playing
yeah.
field. Does she bring you the song she has, or is it
no.
you guys have riffs you
it's
have?
It's all just nothing.
We're all writing together. Like, we're all writing together in the same room, and, you know, she will just start basically singing gibberish or just improving until
she
has something
some sort of
down.
Truth. Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll take a break, and she'll just be sitting there just scribbling lyrics
mad.
Away. And,
yeah.
You know? And that's
and then
just
she'll read us
forms.
What she came up with, and we're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
What about recording? Do you guys have, like, a DIY kind of feel that you like to have to it, or...?
We really like to record live in studio, but we always... Yeah, we live as in, like, all together at the same time, not doing, like, track by track. But we've always recorded
in studios. As much as
possible.
You need to do vocals separately and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, we'll do scratch tracks and then, like, go back and dub vocals over again. But, yeah, like, we've always used studios. If I had the equipment and the money and the time, I would definitely like to do it myself as far as recording. And that's something that I'm hoping to do more of with my new project. But... as far as, like, AFCAP goes, it you know, it was definitely just working in studios. Just to, you know, basically just to have, like, an extra ear as far as, like, an engineer goes working in the room with us. And
somebody who knows the equipment and what we're doing, so we were free to just think about the music and not think about working Pro Tools and levels and
yeah.
the nitty-gritty, you
mm-hmm.
know.
So, do you have a favorite between recording or playing live?
Playing live.
You know,
that was easy
I
for me.
I kind of prefer recording, personally, because I feel like I can hear so much more in the studio, and it's like a lot of the times, like, people play stuff or sing stuff that I didn't even know was there until we're in the studio, and you can actually hear it, because... when you're on stage playing the music, it's like you don't actually hear everything. I mostly just hear myself and the mm-hmm. drums. So being able to, like, go back and listen to things, it's just been really great, you know, just to hear what everybody else is doing. So I've always preferred that more.
And why do you like performing so much?
More? It's just so in the moment, and it's raw, and you're all together, and you're sharing it with people. I mean, you know, you're recording so that people can listen to you over and over and over again. That's really great, and it's great to have a finished product, and... hear it and go like, oh my god, that's, you know, that's what people hear. But there's something about being on stage with the people you love that you really can't beat.
We'll be right back.
memorable shows you'd like to share with us? Or embarrassing moments. There are always good stories.
Oh, well, our first show, they're probably the most interesting. We played, our first show ever was at 7th Street Entry. At the time, we had an 8-piece band. The majority of people were underage, and it just kind of was an alcohol-infused freak show, which is really fun, but it's like, you know, the show was just crazy, and the end of it, like, dropped her keyboard and almost fell off the stage into a bouncer's arms, and
he saved me. I was a damsel in drunken distress.
You know, we had people in the crowd just like buying us drinks. So at one point there was just bottles of PBR completely lining the whole front of the stage, and it was just, you know, it was more of a party than it was a concert. So, you know, that was one of probably my favorite times.
Yeah,
playing. Definitely.
I don't remember it, but I love the stories.
Anything, you know, and anything down at South by Southwest.
Yeah, anything in a different city was just
super
special.
Fun.
Playing in Detroit, what was that place called?
Which one?
The big place.
St. Andrews Hall.
Yeah, we played St. Andrews Hall in downtown Detroit, and it looked like it was, you know, a slum, like it was like an emergency homeless shelter, and you go inside, and it's like First Avenue Main Room or something.
Yeah.
We played in front of like 1,800 people, opening up for Von Bonnies.
It was
unreal.
Sold out show.
14-year-olds like taking your pictures and pushing up against the stage.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
What? Like, you don't even know us, but you're just so excited to see a band. It was so wonderful.
We're just a small band from Minneapolis that were fortunate enough to open for some of our friends, and it was like all these teenagers who just like thought that we were like, you know, some famous band or something, and they're trying to get autographs and stuff, and we're just like, what is going on? This is ridiculous.
Isn't that the dream though? You want to be that famous?
I don't know.
No,
I mean, I just
want
to make music and tour.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't really care about anything else. So
the music industry at this point is, it's not favoring the living off of your craft unless you're really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So I've given up on the dream on like living off of my, you know, creative output, and more just being happy to play with people that I care about and
work at a liquor store.
Yeah, work at a liquor store. Not forever.
A day job and a night job, right?
Yep.
Alter egos.
Yeah.
What do you want your audiences to take away from your shows? And don't say merchandise.
That's a given, no, so it doesn't need to be said.
Probably the inspiration to get out there and do it themselves. And just the overall feeling of, well, if these kids can do it, then so can I. And that's kind of like how I started making music, really. It was just like seeing shows and having idols and stuff and just being obsessed with the music and wanting that. And then
doing it.
And then, you know, a couple of years later, I'm opening for the bands that I used to drool over, you know, and that was really fun and very rewarding. And I'd encourage anybody to do it because it's not that hard, you know.
It's just drive.
Yeah, just have, you know, the ambition and get out there and do it yourself, because it's, anybody can be in a band, you know.
It's really easy.
You'll find your niche.
Yeah, you'll figure a lot of stuff out about yourself too.
I think there's an instrument out there for everyone, even if you can't play anything. You know, there's going to be something out there that you'll find. You just have to keep finding it. You know, keep looking.
There's something beautiful about the amateur sound too.
Yeah, and lo-fi.
You can be a classically trained virtuoso, but you're not going to come up with anything original that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Liam just teaching himself guitar. There's nobody plays like Liam, so.
much. We do have t-shirts, LPs, and CDs. Let us know if you're interested in anything.
How can someone find out more about you?
Facebook, MySpace, MySpace.
Something like
there's
that, you know?
There's nothing else
like,
anymore.
This is pretty much like the end of the road as far as FCAP's concerned. We've been together for 6 years, and we're all in different projects now, and we're putting out one last album. And not so much like splitting ways, because we're all like brothers and sisters and stuff, you know.
And
like
our new projects will all be playing together on bills and
yeah. But
we
I mean,
see each other all the time. It's just, you know.
As far as the group goes, it's like, you know, we've had a million members, and we've played everywhere we can play in Minneapolis, and we all want something fresh, and so like we've just kind of mutually decided that we're gonna all go off and explore our own projects now. And you know, we grew up together. I mean, you know, there's people in this band that started when they were 15 and now they're turning 21, and it's like it's time to get out of the nest.
Next so, chapter.
This is the last show we'll be playing until we put out our CD, and then we're gonna have one last show. This is probably the last interview we'll ever do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so honored.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I should quickly plug all the bands that all of us are in now. Mojo Pinup, Fire in the Northern Furs, Magic Castles.
Corpse Fiend,
Strange Lights.
Fire in the Northern Furs.
I said that.
Okay.
Yeah. Is.
Is. Yep.
I think I've met Strange Lights.
The guitarist is from Winona. He doesn't live here anymore, but...
I think we've interviewed them before.
Probably, yeah. They've played down here, so...
They're great.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
The name, First Communion After Party, what's that about?
I was just put on the ball to come up with a email address name, and that's what I came up with. And when me and Liam first met, and he asked me for my email address, for whatever reason, I gave it to him, and
I said, send me your email address,
right,
so I can send you a list of band names that I'm going to think of. And she's like, oh, it's First Communion After Party at soandso.com. And I was just like, wow, we have it. Like, we're not, you know, there's nothing else that can beat that. Because it's like, we're all recovering Catholics. And why not throw a little bit of sacrilege in there just for fun?
Yeah.
Great. Well, I want to thank you guys for sitting down with me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No problem.
Thanks again to First Communion After Party for joining us on tonight's live feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.